Good morning, beloved community. So glad to see you today. What a gift that we have that you've chosen to be with us, either here in person or watching online on Facebook. We have several guests with us today, and we hope that you feel especially welcome today. Thanks for your presence. Now's a great time, if you are watching online, to grab some communion supplies, bread, juice, wine, water, whatever you're using for that. We will, as always, share in the Lord's Supper a little bit later in our service today. You see, Andrea is leading our singing so beautifully today. We're thankful for that. We'll read our psalm in just a moment. Pat Day will read our scripture. Jesse will pray over us, and I will preach a little bit later. Wherever you find yourself today, thanks for being present here. I'm going to light our Christ candle and then read our psalm for today, and we'll sing several more songs together. Would you stand, please, for Psalm 19? I will read this over it, and then we will sing the song together, Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the great reward. who has held the oceans in his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Oh, all of this to the Lord. Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has felt the upon his hand, bearing all the guilt of sinful man, God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let
I want to say a little prayer, you know, but before I share a little prayer, I want to share some good news. Thursday, I went to go see my cardiologist. And so, Wednesday or Tuesday, my other doctor said, you need to go see a cardiologist. So I got mad, I got angry. The Bible says, be angry, do not sin. So I said, I'm already seeing a cardiologist. So when I went to see my cardiologist, I explained to her, you know, said, and so she said, what's the matter? I said, you want me to switch from a 10-year cardiologist to a brand new cardiologist? And so I say, I've been with you for 10 years. I said, I don't trust nobody but you. So I said, do y'all read notes? You know, like doctors. And so she said, now we do. We got that little, you know, camera thing. I said, yeah, me too. But she said, she said, gave me a thumbs up. She said, you good, go home for 6 months. I said, okay, cool, you know. I say, but we talked about the Lord. That's the first thing that came out of my mouth. And that's the first thing that came out of her mouth. You know, she got the little, you know, Japanese eyes, but I like her, you know. But anyway, we talked about the Lord. And I told her, I said, well, I have to do the prayer because I asked for it. And I believe and receive that God do things, you know, for a reason. It's not on our timing. It's on God's timing. You know, 4 years ago, I walked through them doors. And I said, okay. And I ain't know what my where I was going to be at. I didn't know what my calling was. I just know God said, you know, it's time for you to go another direction. Thanks, you know, be to God for my brother Stanley. He said, why don't you come to my church? I said, okay, cool. You know, I just came because Mr. Mercer kept on trying to push me. And I said, okay. And so Thursday, I met this man and this woman on elevator. And so she said, what church do you go to? I said, Southwest Central Church. So she said, I lost a daughter and a son. You know, they was in the army on 9/11. I say, well, you know, I say, you know, God, there's angels with God. That's what I believe. And so I said, my mama's friend just passed away 2 weeks ago. But anyway, I told her, I say, I'll be praying for you. Her name is Joanne Stevens. And so I say, but thanks be to God and the pastor and his wife and the whole congregation. I say, you know, prayer is the key. Pastor Lady said, I don't know how to pray. I say, anybody know how to pray? You know, come on. I mean, that's the way I look at it. And so she said, you pray just like, you know, I said, well, I was raised by women. Not, you know, don't get me wrong, my dad was in my life, but I was raised by women. And so that was in the Word of God. But the point I'm getting at is, you know, you have people crying out there. You know, you have people, you know, that's looking for God, you know, and they are screaming. I mean, screaming for the Word of God, and they don't know what they're going to do. So let's pray for everyone in the world, you know, not just for, you know, this congregation, but every church. Let's lift them up, you know, because God got a plan, and it's a good plan. And I thank Pastor Steve and his wife, you know, for welcoming me here. So let's be welcome, you know, with the Word of God as Pastor Steve, you know, minister. So for everybody, you know, let's just pray, you know. Father God, we come bold before you in front of your name, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to receive wisdom, understanding, manifestation, acknowledge of the Word of God. God, we come before you on your throne, Father God. We have an angel that's watch over us, watch over this church, Father God. Each and every one of us looking at home, and each and every one of us is here, Father God, in the flesh. Father God, let's pray and lift up the kids, Father God. You know, Father God, they need our blessing. They need our support. Father God, you said you won't now because you ask not. Father God, we are asking for praise and deliverance, Father God. We are asking for salvation, Father God. Father God, we are asking, Father God, that you put a song in each and every one of us' heart and pray, Father God, for them, for their family. Even for the family that's lost, Father God. Father God, you said Jesus left that 99 sheep and went after that one. Let's go and get that one, Father God. Father God, the other day, there was some young man came to my door, Father God. He said, can I pray for you? I said, sure, you know. And he said, what message do you like? I said, well, my text is during my 29/11. He said, well, you know, what a coincidence. I often turn Jeremiah 29:13. I said, well, that's the same thing. So, Father God, let them keep on doing your work, Father God. Let everybody, Father God, go out there and be shepherds, Father God. We are fishers of men, Father God. Father God, let's lift them up, Father God. Even the old, Father God. Even the lame, Father God, to say they are healed, Father God. People that's out there starving, Father God. Father God, feed them, Father God. Father God, I come before you in front of your throne, Father God. And this church come, Father God, with a giving heart, Father God. Father God, it's no waver, Father God. So, Father God, I lift you up, Father God. There was a man and a mother and a lady asked me to pray for their family, Father God. I'm praying, Father God, that you lift her family up, Father God. I'm praying, Father God, that they have no more hurts, Father God. I know they don't talk about it no more until the anniversary, Father God. But, Father God, lift them up, Father God. They say, weeping may endure for a moment, but joy come in the morning, Father God. So let's be joyful, Father God. Let's be rejoiced, Father God. So, Father God, as I leave today, Father God, protect me and everybody in this church with your shield of faith, Father God, and the angel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Feel free to stand with me with this song as we praise the Lord together.
In Christ alone my hope is found. Therein lies my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands for victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asks them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at the disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for you to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? If any of you are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Pat, thank you for reading today. Jesse, thanks for testifying and for praying over us this morning. Let's do pray again, please. God, by your Spirit and by your goodness, pour forth through me now the gift of preaching. We pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Into the heart of Mark's gospel we arrive. A 4-month journey has brought us this far, and thus far, our cardiovascular activity has been a feat of spiritual stamina, tracing Jesus' cross-country routes, as well as you lending me your ears from week to week, 17 to 25 minutes at a time. For both of these actions, the tracing and the lending, I am thankful. Mark, our instructor, has provided several spirited exercise routines in terms of faith walks. So for a few relaxing moments, let's change the pace. Let's take out our yoga mats, turn down the lights, lie down, stretch out our reminiscing minds to see what we can remember. We began on a Galilean beach where Jesus declared that the kingdom of God is near, calling Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow him, much to the chagrin of fishing nets and a left-behind father. Jesus then started healing all sorts of people with various ailments like fevers and demon possession, but often escaped the needy crowds to go and pray. Later, 4 men lowered a paralytic man down a hole in the roof, and Jesus healed him too, but not before forgiving the man's sins, which rankled the religious folks in the room. At a lakeside, Jesus invited a tax collector to join his team, and then he partied all night long with a bunch of thought-to-be-no-good sinners, irritating again the teachers of the law, as did his next 2 deeds, picking grain and healing a man on the Sabbath. Soon after, Jesus appointed 12 people as his disciples, those who would follow his every move, like the time Jesus preached from a boat about how kingdom seeds grow. When they sailed out to sea afterwards, Jesus fell asleep during a frightening storm, but his new appointees woke him up and Jesus rebuked the elements. All was calm and bright except for the shaken disciples. "Don't be afraid," he told them. Back on land, Jesus befriended a Gentile man bursting with demons, but made enemies with the local pig farmers. The Gentile became an evangelist among his own people, and we wondered what became of it all. Returning to Jewish country, Jesus publicly healed a woman of her internal bleeding while he was on his way to quietly wake up a little girl from a long sleep. Jesus wanted then to give his disciples a turn, so he sent them out with not a dime in their pockets, and they came back amazed that they could do every single thing that Jesus could: healing, casting, preaching. All that ministry left the disciples and Jesus with no time to eat. So they sought out a little R&R, but to no one's surprise, another huge crowd found them out. And they were hungry too, so Jesus fed them to satisfaction with just a few bread loaves and a few fish. Those fish likely came out of the lake that Jesus walked on top of in the ensuing story, a feat that boggled the disciples' minds and ours. But the greater point was that it revealed Jesus' divinity, for who cannot sink into the deep waters except for the one who hovered over it at creation? It's that divinity that a brave Gentile woman believed in, trusting that even Jesus' godly leftovers could make her daughter well, and it did. Last Sunday, we watched that Jesus used bizarre techniques to heal deafness and blindness, spit used as a salve to help people hear and see the kingdom of God. Now, if your heartbeat has slowed to a crawl lying here on the floor, start wiggling your toes, start wiggling your fingers, stretch your arms above your heads. If you close your eyes, begin to open them. If you happen to fall asleep listening to the sound of my soothing voice, don't worry about it. It's a common occurrence here. I assure you, I do not take offense to it, but I might keep a few mental notes of who is doing so. It is time to wake up, however, to arise and go, to get our blood pumping again, because Jesus has reached the heart of his gospel too. Our text this morning that Pat just read for us is the turning point moment in Mark. Up until now, as we have seen, Mark's book has largely centered on the powerful, mighty acts of Jesus: healings, exorcisms, walking on water, feast for thousands, glorious events that dazzled and amazed. As he did these things, Jesus welcomed the religiously ostracized and forgave sin, both of which triggered considerable hostility from those in charge of worship. Here in chapter 8, we come to the hinge that swings the story onward, the threshold we must cross to continue on. We stand before the second touch of Jesus that we discussed last Sunday, partial sight to full vision. Whether individuals and faith communities believe there is more yet to see, more yet to understand, that's a crucial question. But Jesus, for one, knows what he must do. He must teach, he must teach, he must teach. From this point forward, Jesus will teach with all he's got, not so much with miracles, but with concentrated instruction in the way of discipleship. He starts by bringing his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, an area on the northern outskirts of Jewish territory where Roman armies patrol and Gentiles build their homes. Jesus' study abroad class begins here, and from here he'll work a direct path across Galilee to the heart of Israel, to Jerusalem, to the triumphal entry in chapter 11. Matthew's gospel has the Sermon on the Mount. Luke's has the Sermon on the Plain. Mark's has what we can call the Sermon on the Way. And if Lori Tucker were here today, I think she would like that, since she always called our congregation a church on the way. We'll spend time with Jesus' Sermon on the Way during the next month or so. On the way to Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asks his disciples a seemingly innocent question: who do people say I am? What mental images do people come up with to make sense of me? Jesus takes a straw poll curious about people's opinion of him. Since the disciples keep up with the local gossip, they can answer this one quite easily. Well, some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Others say you're Elijah, re-embodied. Still others call you one of the prophets. Jesus is none of these, but he's not necessarily interested in what the polls show anyway. It's a setup question for the next one. But what about you? Who do you say I am? What images do you come up with in your mind to make sense of me? Peter has a ready answer for that question too. You are the Christ of God, the Messiah, the one who will set people free. After everything that Peter has witnessed, from his beachfront calling to the silencing of the windstorm to the raising up of the girl who had died, he knows without a doubt that Jesus is indeed the Christ. Peter says the right thing. What kind of Christ, though? That is Peter's main problem. And Jesus knows that without a doubt, too. Peter's mental image still is of a Christ who will reign and rule with a power that vanquishes its enemies and gives his closest friends cabinet positions in the coming regime and provides free health care if you wait in line to touch the hem of Jesus' robes, and maybe Peter's robes too, if Peter had his way. But Jesus says to Peter what he's been saying to healed persons and demons all along: don't tell anybody. Jesus does not intend to be the kind of Christ that Peter, the disciples, or anyone else thinks he should be. In complete contrast to the "don't talk about it" policy Jesus institutes, Mark says Jesus speaks quite openly about what the Christ truly means. He begins to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. In telling his disciples who he is, Jesus hands them a new image. You want to know Christ? He is the one who endures suffering, rejection, and death, and will be raised again. Peter, the spokesperson for all disciples everywhere, takes it upon himself to explain to Jesus the error of his thinking, pulls him aside like Jesus had done so many times before, and lectures him, "Look, I thought we had a good thing going here." A performance like that may just be a cover-up of Peter's own fear of suffering. He has surely seen and heard the opposition, and as confident as he is in Jesus' power, there is no reason to provoke the bull if you can help it. It could also be that Peter just plain loved his friend, his brother, Jesus. He could not stand the thought of anything happening to him. Whatever Peter's motivations, Jesus rebukes him. "Get behind me, Satan." A scolding if there ever was one. But the rebuke is actually a rebuke of Jesus' own temptation, lured and enticed to think that God's anointed can circumvent any kind of suffering, rejection, and death. Satan, in the wilderness, tried to seduce Jesus before with power and prestige and popularity, and here we have it again, temptation to dodge any hurt. But this kind of Christ, if he is going to rescue anything or anyone, he will have to suffer for it. Suffer for them, suffer with them. When everyone, including the faithful disciples, thought that the Christ could conquistador his way to control, redemption of creation instead will come through suffering and shame and sorrow. This is what the Christ, the Messiah, will do. Refusing the urge to run the other way, Jesus returns to teaching his disciples, "You are setting your minds not on divine things, but on human things." He tells them. Peter wants to count the blessings of following the Christ. He thought he knew the human things, but not count the cost of following the Christ. Jesus actually is the divine things. Following that kind of Christ would mean that he and every other disciple would have something to lose, and who in their right mind would go along with something like that? As painful as loss is, including their perceptions on who the Christ is and what the Christ is to be about, loss is what the disciples need most. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, and you know what happens here, read along, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." Jesus goes on to say this, "What good is it for you to gain the whole world, but forfeit your very self? What can you give in exchange for your soul?" Jesus steps into the heart of the discipleship matter to change their image of what it means to follow them. He gives them a new Christ language. If you want to come after me, you got to deny yourself. You've got to pry yourself off the center, the earth revolving around you. Stop gripping stuff and security blankets. Crush the idols you worship that are merely projections of yourself or your religious preferences or your political affiliations. Denying yourself is not about self-rejection, though. Self-denial is about opening yourself up to a whole new kingdom, to a whole new Christ, a new community around you where you can finally see your identity clearly. If you want to come after me, take up your cross. Taking up your cross is different than saying we all have our crosses to bear. This isn't about accepting minor inconveniences that come your way. Remember that the cross originally was not a Christian symbol, but a Roman intimidation tool meant to keep an occupied people in line. Taking up your cross is crazy talk when you're supposed to do everything you can to avoid it. But for Jesus, this is not a death wish, but a voluntary action. You choose this. Getting underneath the weight of pain and suffering and shame, it will cost you a lot to get beneath it, which is why so many people don't, because you'll have to let go of everything else in order to hold on. By choosing it, though, you believe or hope that that is where the Christ is to be found. Who knew that these cross pieces could also be beams of light? If you want to come after me, then follow me. Let Jesus lead you. Let his life become the direction of your life. Don't ask for a softer gospel. Pray that God's kingdom will come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Reenact as Christians his Christ movements, suffering, rejection, dying, raising. embrace and embody this story, believing that his story on the way is the way of life. Practice resurrection. Dead to self people walking around in confidence and hope and service to the least. Trust that God will lift you up in the end. Do not be afraid. I think I'm at the point in my life and in my ministry where I want few things more than to be part of a dying church. Not in the sense that numbers dwindle so low that we have to shutter our doors and bury the church sign, but dying in the sense of taking Jesus' call seriously. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. These all involve a painful death of a certain kind, funeral of things we all hold dear, a sacrifice of mental images we've been told all our lives. But let us also believe that they take us directly into the heart of the gospel, into the heart of all good news, into the heart of God. I understand that this congregation has a mission statement, as God has loved us. We have banners of truth flanking our sides. We have reputations of various sorts among other congregations. More than any of those, though, I want to be known as a dying church, where denying ourselves rather than saving ourselves, picking up the cross rather than running from it, and following someone greater than ourselves is who we are. Not to raise us up above others, but to bring glory to the one who sacrificed everything for us. If we are going to be called a church of Christ, what kind of Christ is an important question. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Doing any of these things as an individual is not easy. Doing them as a faith community is even harder, especially since having our mind on human things is kind of our thing, since we're human after all. Our task, then, is to continually return to Jesus, as Mark has implored us to listen, and trust that Jesus will meet us as a church on the way. We may want insights and tips on the spiritual life that cost us nothing, but what Jesus offers is a way of life that costs us everything. It'll take leadership from those appointed as such. It'll take wisdom from our oldest and especially from our youngest. It'll take prayer from us all, and we'll spend next Sunday an extensive time of prayer. It'll also take plenty of teachers who will show us how. Thankfully, we have that one in spades. I have seen you lay down your lives for one another more times than I can count. I have watched as you stooped underneath someone else's cross and suffered alongside them. I have sat at the dusty feet of women and men here who followed Jesus to the unlikeliest of places and lived to talk about it. Still, I believe there is more for us here as a congregation. There is more for us here. By the grace of God, the touch of Jesus, and the work of the Holy Spirit, let us move forward in heart in the way that we have been taught. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. And together, friends, sisters, brothers, let us say or type, amen. Let's stand as we sing together. Grace leads us home. Grace also leads us to the table that we get to share in every single week, this bread and this cup that have gracefully been given to us. What a gift. We get to do this to remind each other that Christ is indeed among us and with us, the body of Christ right here, to our neighbors, to our friends, to each other. As we've been doing, I would love for a couple of volunteers to help me serve today. Here's some hand sanitizer, of course. We have the bread and the juice. You can come up right after I pray and help me serve, please. Let's do indeed pray together. We give you thanks, O God, for the grace that constantly pursues us, chases us down, as Jesse reminds us, comes for the one of the 99. We give you thanks for this. We give you thanks for the grace we see in the bread that has been given. We did not grow it. We did not bake it. It is a gift. It's been given. Same with the cup. We give you thanks for these things. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we also have an opportunity to give. Today we'll give our funds, if you have any to give. We have a couple of folks who will walk around with offering plates. You can just raise your hand and they will bring the plate to you, please. You can also, as you know, give online if you choose. Drop it in the mail, bring it to the office, and we will use it however you give it. Let's pray together, and these guys will walk around. By that same grace, O God, would you use these funds that are given to bring forth even further your kingdom among us. Thanks for the hearts of these givers. Through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, got a couple of family matters to share with you today. We shared a couple weeks ago about Grace Stansel being in a bike accident. And here's a text I received from him this morning to give you an update. Steve Sandifer and myself, he says, "Good morning, young men." There you go, Steve. That's good. "Just a brief update for the church and my progress. Please tell the church thank you for all the prayers, cards, calls at this time. Looks like my body is healing well and won't have to have any more surgeries on my broken right arm or procedures on his left lung or broken ribs. Now just ouch," he says. "Love you all, Grace Stansel." So thank you for doing that, everybody. We do have our Impact Luncheon next Sunday morning. People are going to gather over in the Fellowship Hall at 8 a.m. Is that correct? 8 a.m. If you want to come be a part of that, please be masked over there. There are going to be sandwiches that we're going to prepare, bagged lunches that will then be brought over to the Impact Church of Christ downtown. You can see the bulletin for extra needs in that regard. Thursday Bible class continues this upcoming Thursday, 10:30. On Zoom. If you want to be a part of that, King will send you a Zoom link. And of course, we have Bible classes all over our building today, and we certainly encourage you to pick one of these and be a part of it. Those of us who are a kind of a recognized part of this congregation, if you see some guests, ask them to join you today. Okay, before I do the benediction today, two other things. You may have seen when you walked in, we have about 8 or 9 shirts left from our Vacation Bible School we did in early August. There are several children sizes and just a couple of adult sizes left. If you want to take one of those, they are out on the table right in the lobby. You can take them, give them away, use them as rags, whatever you see fit. That is just fine. All right, as we, right before benediction, I want to ask Ford to come up here with me, please. Ford Matt. Ford, as many of you know, or maybe you don't know, Ford is leaving for boot camp. When?
Tomorrow
morning. Which means that, much to my dismay, Ford's not going to be sitting here on Sunday mornings anytime soon. And so we want to pray in just a bit over Ford. And Larry, I'm going to ask that you would do that in just a moment, please. From my recollections, Ford started coming after his grandmother Delia did, maybe 4 years or so ago at this point. Ford would just so lovingly and tenderly escort his grandmother in, and they would still sit in somewhere in the same area. If they arrived late, they would come all the way to the front, which was a gift. Thanks for doing that. And over these years, what I learned about Ford is that he will pray. It started during a service when I asked for just a volunteer prayer, and Ford, whom I did not know at that time, got up and prayed a beautiful prayer over this congregation just in the spur of the moment. And from there, Ford was on a regular routine of persons to ask, "Would you come and pray?" And he did so. I actually look back over our text, Ford, from the last several years, and just how many times I thanked him for praying over our church. And so thank you again for that. Do you have something you want to share? Do you want to speak? I'm going to give Ford the microphone for a minute, and then I'm going to say a couple other things, then Larry, I'm going to ask to come and pray.
Morning, church. So, yes, I will be leaving for Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri tomorrow for boot camp. Again, I'll be in processing for about a week, so I'll still have my phone. I will make a video, and I will send it to my mom, and she will send it to you. If I get news of my location, I'll put my address so you guys can send me letters if you so choose to. I will be in Leonard Wood from September 24th until around December 5th. I'll try to come back for block leave because I will be graduating right before Christmas. If not, you guys will see me in early January because I will be back in Houston though. So this isn't a goodbye, this is just, I'll see you a little bit later. Maybe I'll be a little bit thinner and wearing a nice uniform, so.
If you have, Larry, you can come on up. If you have not experienced a Ford bear hug, you are missing out. So today is a great day to get one of those and wish him well as he heads out tomorrow. Let's stand, please, and this will be our benediction for today, please, as people who are choosing today to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Jesus. This is part of it. We bless one another. So, Larry, let's do that now, and after Larry prays, let's go forth in peace and purpose.
Dear Father, we seek your blessing upon Ford as he has been a blessing to us. Father, his demonstration of honoring his grandmother has been a beautiful experience. Father, his presence among us and his service among us has been a blessing that we will miss. But Father, we ask that your spirit go with him and that you protect him from all harm. Father, you have used soldiers in your kingdom many times in the past. And Father, we ask that you do so with Ford. And Father, that he may grow in strength and faith and purpose because of this commitment. May you bless him in his studies. And Father, we seek your spirit upon us as we go forth from this gathering today, that you will place on our hearts the call of Jesus. And Father, that we dedicate ourselves to living the life that Jesus called us to. Father, it's a life that if we're willing to give up it for the gospel, Father, we will gain it. And Father, may we get that blessing through hearing the call and heeding it. Father, thank you for Steve and his message this morning. Continue to bless him in his ministry. May your spirit of wisdom and speech be upon him. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you.
Make sure your mom sends us addresses, videos, whatever you want.
Hey, bud, you're right. You'll be a little bit thinner. When I went from 5:30 in the morning until 9:30 at night, so there's lots to learn and lots of friends to be made. And God bless you. And, be safe. Love you.
Love you, sir. May God always be with you, sir.
And I will fill it again.